certainly relate to these readings this week. I was doing a lot of running in and out of the parish this week, and on one day in the middle of the week, I was in my car and I was going across town. It was kind of rush hour, you know, and of course we're nothing like the Twin Cities, but it does tend to back up a little bit. Lights take a little longer, and so I was kind of pressed for time and kind of made it halfway through town when I realized I had forgotten my wallet. And so I thought, well, here's a story for my homily, at least on Sunday. So I better hurry up because I'm running out of time for my appointment. So I turned around and drove all the way back and let myself into the rectory, went upstairs, grabbed my wallet, got back into my car, and then again made the journey. Finally arrived to my destination a little bit late. And as I was sitting waiting to be called, I asked myself, now where's my phone? And realized that that was back at the rectory too, but there was nothing I could do about it now. But what a frustrating, anxious feeling, isn't it? You know, you think back in the day when, you know, if you remembered your keys and you remembered your wallet or your purse, well, that was pretty good. You know, you could probably get through your day. But today, you know, we have those added things to remember, especially our phone, which is our link to everyone else, you know, and so it's frustrating and just creates that anxiety when we forget it. And so Jesus, knowing that that's what that does to us, uses these parables to us or to tell the people in his time what that may be like. And the woman who loses the valuable coin, which of course back then would have been a portion of her husband's paycheck, so to speak, to keep the family fed and the bills paid for the week. And then he goes into talking about the shepherd who loses one of his precious sheep, which for any farmer, even today, would be a pretty big financial loss. And so by sharing these stories with us, Jesus shows us that he understands our frustration and anxiety when we lose something that we need, that's very important to us, like our wallet or our purse or a cell phone or even our pet. You know, you see these posters all over town in the supermarket and on the telephone posts, you know, where's Fluffy? You know, if you find this stray cat or dog, call this number, you know, so to speak. In fact, Jesus allowed the church to appoint a patron saint for those times when we lose something important to us, which is St. Anthony, right? Yeah. Now, St. Anthony was a miracle worker. He was such a holy saint, and miracles just seemed to flow through him, all kinds of miracles. But there was one event where St. Anthony lost something, and that's why the church appointed him as the patron of lost items. So if you do lose something, you can say a prayer to St. Anthony, and he'll help you find it. I know he's worked for me and a lot of people, so he does come through. But not a lot of people know the story about why he is or why the church chose him as that patron. But St. Anthony lived way back in, I think about the 1200s, and he was a Franciscan, so he lived in a community of brothers and priests. And in this community, they did their work and they prayed together. And St. Anthony, of course, took his turn offering Mass. But St. Anthony was a man of great prayer. And throughout the years of his formation and his years as a priest, he had a breviary, a prayer book of Psalms. Priests still pray that today. But he wrote a lot in that prayer book. He wrote all these little spiritual nuggets and things that God had communicated directly to him. You know, today we might compare it to a spiritual journal or a diary for younger kids. You know, it's our personal thoughts. They're important to us, that wisdom that God shares with us, that we want to remember, that helps us through life. And of course, as a religious ordered priest, they can't own anything. They take a vow of poverty. So this was pretty important to St. Anthony. Well, in his community, there was one monk that wasn't very happy. He was having second thoughts about the vocation and the life that he had chosen. He thought maybe going back out into the world and living a secular life would have been his true calling. And so one day he decided, yep, I'm going to do that. I'm going to leave the community and I'm going to go back into the world. But he knew St. Anthony carried around this book, and he was such an eloquent preacher, and he knew that he always referenced that little book he carried. He thought, well, you know, there's a lot of spiritual insight in that little book of Anthony's, and, you know, he's probably got it all committed to memory anyway, so, you know, I'm going to take it with me. And so he went into St. Anthony's cell, and he basically stole it. And he left. He left the community. Well, as you imagine, St. Anthony was probably in a great state of anxiety and stress when he realized he couldn't find his book. And so what did St. Anthony do? He pleaded with God that he would return or find that way to get that book back to him, because it was a spiritual treasure that he used for good, and reminding himself of his relationship with God. And so I don't know what he did, if he prayed to the Blessed Virgin Mary or prayed his rosary or what, but after a couple months, this monk who was out in the world, well, things apparently weren't going very well for him. And so he realized that, yeah, I think I do have a religious calling and a vocation. I think I've made a mistake here. And so he humbly went back to the monastery and pleaded with the superior that he would be accepted once again, and he was welcome back. But there was one thing he had to do. Now he had to approach St. Anthony and say, St. Anthony, I took your book, and I'm sorry. And that was hard for this monk to do, but it was necessary. And St. Anthony did not reproach this monk, but he gratefully accepted his book back and accepted his apology. But he was more impressed, St. Anthony said, than getting his breviary back, than he was more impressed with this monk's repentance and return to the community, that this monk went out, he was lost, and now he was found. And there was more joy in that than getting his most treasured possession back. And that's the same point that Jesus is trying to make in the parables today. If Jesus understands how upset and anxious we get when we lose something very important to us, he wants us to know that he gets even more concerned when we get lost, when we get lost in sin, when we happen to wander away from him. The good news is that Jesus does not give up on us and constantly pursues us, even if we should happen to wander far from him through sin. He obviously knows where his lost people are physically, but it grieves him that he has lost their hearts, that he has lost their wills through their own free will choice. However, Jesus reminds us today that there is more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents and returns to him than over 99 others who are doing well, even though Jesus assures us that he loves the 99 just as much also. But what's important here is that Jesus desires that not even one of his Father's children be lost for all eternity. So Jesus continues to pursue us even until this day, and will continue to do so even until the end of time when we wander. All of us here today, of course, are treasured possessions in the eyes of God. And all of us are here today, or that are here today, have some relationship of love with our Lord, or we would not be here. And so know that your presence here today has not gone unnoticed by the Lord, and that it brings him great joy that you would think of him and want to spend time with him and worship, even though we cannot fully see him yet. For thus we live and worship as he would like us to, for now, in faith and in trust, for this is pleasing to him. But as we know, as Christians, this form of worship will be only temporary. If we stay close to the Lord in prayer and worship in this life, if we come back to him by responding to his pursuing and loving voice in our hearts if we stray, and if we continue to show kindness and mercy to one another, then we will see him face to face and be able to enjoy those eternal rewards in his presence for all eternity. So it is very important that we also show our love by assisting the Lord in pursuing those that we know who have strayed and who do not care at all to be found. Unfortunately, we all know people like that. They are present in all of our lives, and they need desperately our continued prayers, our continued good examples, and witnessing about what the Lord has done for us when we get those opportunities in order to break down their hard hearts and open them up to God's love once again. And so let us pray today that God will not only keep us close to him, but will also bless our efforts in evangelization, as we know he will if we ask him and continue to trust in his merciful love and help.